Stop me if you heard this one. So my brother's dying on the floor of a Starbucks. Choking out on a blood clot latte. As you do. And you know what Starbucks did? Starbucks sent flowers to the funeral. They sent flowers. I mean, that's nice. I would have preferred coffee, but... flowers are a good start. That's the problem. Nobody sends anything you could use anymore to a funeral. Everybody sends flowers. Nobody sends, you know, coffee to drink or a casserole to eat or heroin to forget. Nobody gives you something you could sink your teeth into. You know what I mean? Everybody sends flowers. I don't know if you know this. The only thing you can actually do with flowers, watch them die slowly. It's the only purpose to flowers. It's not like they give them to you in a bouquet where you could be like, oh, for me, thanks. No, they give them to you weird arrangements. They give you like a wreath of carnations on a tripod. The hell am I supposed to do with this thing? I'm not going to get a baby pool just to water it. That seems...
Hello, welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Napier, and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello.
Our guest tonight is comedian Sean White, whose debut album, Dead and Gone, will be in stores May 12th. Sean. Hi.
Wine.
I don't know. I'd like something
else. Take advantage of it not being live.
Second drop. Dramatic, I think, if you could.
The phone number to call, from now on, we have a new phone number, 636-487-4265. See? You see?
It's new, it's hard.
Yeah, 636-487-4263 is the new phone number. I refreshed it about 10 times until I got the last 4 digits to spell out a word.
What'd you get?
I got hand. That's all I could get.
You didn't even care which word.
No,
you
I just wanted it to spell out anything. Everything had ones and zeros in it. But this is 4263. It spells hand. So it's 636487 hand.
Well, now you have to think of stuff that makes, like, hand related to make it make sense.
We just need to change the name of the show to something with hand.
Wheelbarrow full of hands?
Yeah.
That sounds worse.
It really does.
Yeah. Or hands full of dicks.
See, that's not bad. I could get behind that. But we'd have to change, like, all our addresses. It just seems like too much work. We need something else that WFOD stands for, and we'd probably be okay.
Wheelbarrow full of digits?
I think since about the 3rd episode, I've been complaining that we need to change the name of the show.
Women for Orderly Development.
Yeah, that's not bad. What was the WFOD? It was a World Full of Discrimination.
Yep.
That was good. You know, when we start complaining about stuff.
Wildlife Fund of Delaware.
I think that's a real thing. I think when you look up acronyms, that's what comes up.
Wildlife Friends of Des Moines.
So, Sean, the album, May 12th, it has a recurring theme.
Yes. Well, two main themes. It is called Dead and Gone because it's only about two particular subjects, two events in my life, divorce and my family passing away.
Your whole family?
Yeah.
Just all died?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Well, yeah, thanks.
That's gotta be hard to come up with material for.
It's been 3 years at this point.
When you do the jokes, do you get mad at people for laughing? I guess not, but
No, not at all.
You because soulless bastards, don't laugh at that.
Well, it's the thing that, first off, that's one of the things I think I mentioned in it is, thanks for teaching me to hold it all inside, if that's the particular, that's your opinion. It's something that, so I don't talk about specifics. Like, I know nobody cares about specifics. That's what I think people get confused, is because if I go like, and this person meant so much to me, and we did this, and here's a personal story, and then they died in my arms, and then we were crying together. Yeah, that's going to be kind of hard.
Right.
To make a joke out of that. If somebody laughs that, then it's kind of like, well, hold on now. But what I'm doing is talking about how we as a society interpret death and view it and react to it, not about their specific deaths or my particular feelings on the subject.
How many deaths are we talking here?
Four.
Four? Let's see, four is a lot.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not if you take into account the age of the Earth.
In the grand scheme of thing, there's been lots of people that have died, right?
Yeah, but,
I mean,
like, what,
in a short period of time, all people that you know. I mean, I can't think of four people that I have known that have died.
Well, it's you probably had your grandparents are going to die.
Yeah, so yeah. Oh, yeah. I only have one left.
Okay, so
yeah, three of the four are gone. So I can think of one more person, and then I got my four.
Yeah, or you can get a few grand and make it happen.
But they spread out over like a long period of time, having them all so close together.
But it was a good thing for me because it completely changed, you know, like how I view life and everything that I do and how I approach it.
Is that when you decided to take up comedy? Were you doing comedy beforehand, or was it kind of?
I had been doing it for 6 years when it started happening.
And then it just fueled, like, a next level for the career.
Well, like, I kept trying to do the same stuff. And this is before, like, Tig Notaro came out with her special where she literally, she refers to the B joke a lot, that she doesn't want to do it that same joke anymore now that she has cancer. And what kept happening to me was I kept trying to do my normal set and then getting too drunk or something and then just doing a rant about that instead. And it felt really good to get it off my chest. And so I decided I don't give a shit, I'm just going to do it. And that attitude was what helps me get better.
So let me ask you this. Let's say the album is like an overwhelming success, like far beyond your wildest dreams.
And it should be. I liked it very much.
It's very good. Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I had Napier listening to it out on the deck while he was barbecuing. And Napier even laughed. Napier doesn't laugh at anything.
I laugh at all kinds of things, especially death.
But apparently. I mean, let's say it's far beyond your wildest expectations of success.
Somebody actually knows who I am in the future.
You're known for this set. Like you get around. You know, how do you follow it up? I mean, you're death guy now.
That's why I waited actually 6 months for the album to be released, so I'd have enough time to make a new set. And so I already just finished writing the basic framework for it, and I'm going to spend another year polishing it, but I've already gotten the majority of the next 45 minutes written, and the next album is going to be Angry and Alone, and the first one's on Anguish, and the second one's on why we have such a weird mentality that we should all be in groups and have friends, and it's fine to actually be comfortable with yourself.
So still kind of the same themes.
I have that same feeling when I'm drinking.
That's something that I'm purposely going to try to do as a marketing thing as well, because even if you don't know me, you can maybe want to hear about the subjects. And it's something that also gives me such a structure with writing that I'm able to do it quick enough and thorough enough. It's also something that somebody hasn't really done before. So it's kind of hard. Like when there's stand-up has no rules, well, I just created my own. And that helps me work.
That's probably pretty smart too, because like if you look at like Jim Gaffigan, he rolled that Hot Pocket wave directly into comedy about bacon.
Just now he does bacon?
Yep, it's all bacon.
Does he do the voice with bacon too?
Well, it's like Titus used to always do about his family and things like that as well. And there are other comedians that do have structures where they have like X amount of jokes on relationships, X amount of jokes on this, X amount of jokes on like current events, like when they do a special. So they always like block off certain amounts of time for that type of material. I'm just using that as a structure in guiding me in where I want to go in the first place.
I like it. And obviously, you brought up the fact that you didn't want to get into specifics over things. You just kind of wanted to get to the core of the feelings. And I thought, listening to this album, I thought you did a hell of a job. You know, it was like almost like a heavyweight boxer kind of fleeting around the actual specifics of it while just kind of touching on the topics that you wanted to cover. I thought was really, really, really good.
Thanks, man. It took 2 years to make, and a lot of awkward responses from audiences to get it figured out. I used to run an open mic where I would specifically like nobody would go. Nobody. There was only like two open mics in all of Chicago on this one night, and I ran one of them, and I was known for doing 45 minutes of that kind of material.
To two people.
To one, I don't give a fuck. Like, I had no problems. I at one point brought in multiple pages printed out of pros and cons of your family being dead. And I just read from the paper. Like, it took a long time to figure out what I was doing.
Were the other two people in the audience that you were doing your comedy for, were they also there to do the open mic?
Yeah, no, I made the open micers watch my awful mess of a life. I forced every last deep, dark thought on them.
That's got to be pretty cathartic, though.
It's great. Well, it's not therapy, but it's therapeutic. It's because I've spoken with grief counselors as well, and they recommend that you speak about your problem. Well, I've kind of done that.
To a room full of people.
Right, and it's great because I don't have to worry about when you do an audience. I can like as a team, everyone will go oh or like yay, but like individually, if I tell people I don't like that, because then they'll always have to give you their response, and it's like I don't necessarily need your response. I just want to get it off my chest. Like, let's just get this out of the way.
So did it work? Was the album recording? Was it kind of like the last thing that you needed to do to make it really better?
Actually, it was the last thing I needed to do to get over those things. I don't do any of the jokes off that album anymore, and I'm not going to. The whole point is to move past that part of my life, and so it's kind of like a method acting version of stand-up where when I was writing the dead stuff, I was going letting myself go as deep as I possibly could with the thoughts on death. And explore it as deeply as I could. Then in the divorce, I went on like a tear of women and tried to figure out I really tried to get back in there to get more writing for it. And then for even with Angry and Alone, like I really kind of went to let myself get as angry as I possibly could to really overanalyze it to write more about it.
So you say you went on like a tear through women after your divorce. Did you? How was dating after a divorce? Did you do websites and apps?
I did everything. I did literally all of it. I did not give a crap, man. I had a good job that was paying me pretty decent at the time, and I'm a very like scientific person where I just experiment all the time, and it's a very callous approach, but I was about 3 online dates a week for about an entire year.
Did you do all the sites, though? Like, I mean, did you stick to like
all of them except for eHarmony, which I filled the whole personality test out, and it's no one compatible for 100 miles.
Did you take different pictures for all the different sites, or do you just recycle the same ones over and over again?
Recycle it. Fuck it. I don't care.
Just the same picture on all of them?
Yeah, they don't care. Like, nobody cares on those sites. Like, it's just finding the new one. I don't do that stuff anymore. Like, I don't get, like, I do use, like, Hinge every now and then.
Hinge?
Is that just a hookup site?
No, it's a phone app that, it's kind of like Tinder with, like, left-right swiping, but there's only, like, just a few, and it's, like, I think more business professional themed, I don't know. Either way, it's newer, which means there's more attractive people on it for right now, and not everyone's jumped on board with their grandmas.
Did you try Farmers Only at all?
I've been to the website, yes.
Farmers Only. What I wonder about
that... Is
there
a lot of farmers in the Chicago area?
I thought about it for a second.
Well, what I always thought about that was, like, how do they legitimize that? Do they check, like, your farmers union card when you sign up for that website?
Yeah, like, well, it there's so much to it that makes that, like, absolutely no sense.
There's, like, 12 multiple choice questions.
Well, yeah, like, also, women are looking for farmers... And they can't also be farmers, so the name right there is complete bullshit, because it's not only farmers. It's also women that want farmers.
Yeah. And maybe dudes that want themselves a lady farmer.
Are there a lot of lady farmers, I wonder?
I don't know, man. I'm going to find them.
They grew up in the family. They took over the family farm. And now they need a fella to come around and help them with all the work.
I like how more than likely, though, how many farmers know how to use a computer?
Well, like, who has
have,
time?
Have reliable internet.
Well, they have to get up in the morning and milk the cows, and then they got to plow the field. Like, I would think the peak dating time online would probably be, you know, late afternoon.
Right before a nap.
Right before a nap, exactly. And they're out there in the field, so they don't have time for that.
Or winter.
Well, it could be an automated farm. They may not actually be like, I don't think everybody, even if they're the farmer, they may be the owner of it. They'll have other people that do the actual work. I wonder if you can do it if you're just a farm hand, or do you have to be a farm owner?
Like a potential farmer.
I'm a farmer in training. I'm going to own that farm one day, Alice.
I'm a farmer intern, so I'm ready to go.
I watched Utopia several times, and the idea of farming interests me.
I don't think anyone's ever started a farming career after saying, the idea of farming interests me. That sounds like the weirdest, like, start to a farming career.
Like, I wanted to dabble in farming a little bit, so now I have like, 100 heads of cattle, and I got this field that I got
to I went out to a farm, I knocked on the door, and I said, you know, I just want to give this a shot a couple days. Just, you know, show me the ropes, see if it's something that I could get into.
You want a Freaky Friday with a farmer?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
that would be the worst Freaky Friday body switch movie ever. Just like some random college kid is all like, I wish I was a farmer.
Fuck, I gotta go harvest all these soybeans now.
Hour and 20 minutes of dude learning how to fucking plow a field.
Oh, I'm being sued by Monsanto.
We had a drought this year. I don't have any crops. Shit.
Meanwhile, the farmers go into all your high school classes.
Ask him why none of them are related to you.
If you took that, I like how in those movies, though, the other person goes to the other person's job. Like, why wouldn't you just call in sick?
Yeah, right.
That seems like the first thing you do. It's like, oh, no, I'm not walking into that trap.
You have no idea what would be going on. Like, you wouldn't even know who works there. How the hell could you even...
I wouldn't know how to get there.
That would be the first problem, I guess, is you wouldn't know
how... I'd still be getting, like, adjusting the mirrors on the car. Like, I wouldn't know... I'd be still be looking for my car.
Where? Yeah, and then you
don't know which one is yours.
You don't know which car is yours, let alone how to be a CPA.
Like, where your office is, you'd have to ask somebody. Carol, where's my office?
Psst, hey, who am I?
First question.
Next question, which of these assholes do I hate?
So, this is exciting. They're making the male equivalent of Hooters. They're calling it Tallywhackers. And the fellas are going to be topless and then wear red aprons. That's exciting, right?
Just red aprons?
Yes. They're going to serve you food without shirts on.
Well, they have that at gay bars now anyways.
It's a gay bar.
Well, I mean, they just have a better menu.
Can I bring my children?
Just walk in there with your kids and have a bunch of, like, greased up fellas?
Would you bring your kid into a Tilted Kilt or a Hooters?
Sure, right?
A Hooters, I would. A Tilted Kilt, no.
I wouldn't either one of them. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why are you trying to make me feel weird, confusing feelings about wings? I'm trying to eat.
Eat
the boners. Stop it.
When they sit me and my wife and my 6-year-old and my 3-year-old directly next to you and your buddy's table.
I've never really gotten... I don't really get the Hooters thing either, to be honest with you. It's like, you know, I just... I mean, like, if I want to eat, then I don't want to mix, like, sex with chicken.
Well, there's nothing to mix either, because it's not like it's all that sexual in a Hooters. I mean, there's attractive ladies most of the time, and sure, they're wearing, like, booty shorts, and they're wearing, like, a tight top. That's it.
But I mean, get that it's designed to be tantalizing. They have tits on a owl on their sign. Travis, that owl's eyes are tits. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I think they have a lot of puns in their menu, too. Like, I don't know what you would do with the tallywhackers. Would you do, like, the tallywhacker fingers?
They serve a lot of hot dogs is what the thing says. It's a hot dog joint.
That's really
dumb.
That's
a cop-out.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Hot dogs, not even, like, nice sausages or anything.
Just, like,
kind of a jerk move.
They just got a hot dog.
Generic hot dogs.
That's relatively inexpensive.
The people going there are going there for the men. Because there's no way someone's going to go, no. They have the best hot dogs in Texas.
I mean, ladies' night out. Let's go.
You and
go
your
out.
Gals, like,
let's
go there.
Get some hot dogs, ladies.
Some boiled hot dogs.
Go there for lunch, like from work. And
yeah, and if I know ladies, which Sean, I'm sure you can attest to, having tore through a bunch of them, the favorite thing on a lady that they love hot dogs. If you want to take them out for a nice meal, take them out for a dog.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Or you can just throw a hot dog at them. It has the same effect.
Just like stand up on the bar and just get one of those hot dog cannons like they have at the Brewers games. And
well, I think they have to be standing at the end of a hallway, and then you throw the hot dog down the hallway.
See, now that was a bad joke, Travis.
Do you think the wieners are between delicious, crusty, buttery buns?
So what he's saying is, see, the hot dog in the hallway, it's like, you know, he's saying that the ladies have the... It's like one of those...
The cavernous vagina thing.
Yeah, it's one of those, but it's not great.
Okay.
I believe in you.
Thank you, I appreciate that. That's why I only do comedy with my 3 and my 6-year-old, because anything I say they find funny, so...
You're telling your 3 and your 6-year-old hot dog and hallway jokes?
No, of course not. I brought my A-game out for you guys.
Thanks.
Kids, sit down. I'm going to teach you about the birds and the hot dogs.
The Radio FUBAR, where we've been for 4 years, is going away. It's gone. Gone. May 9th, I believe, is the last day. So I guess technically we could have been on this week, but we said by last week, so we don't want to do it live this week. So starting next week, did we decide next week, Travis?
Yep.
Next week, we are going to begin doing the live show from our new home, and Napier, do you want to do the honors of what's the new website, Napier? Do you even know? Did I even
strangelabel.com?
Strangelabel.com is the website. So whatever you do to prepare for that, I guess you just wait until, you know, 7:58 on.
Or
next
you could
Monday.
Just get a bunch of your friends together. You could have like a viewing party, but for the, you know, listen to past episodes
Can
in
we
anticipation
have a countdown clock?
Of the new launch.
Do you think we need a countdown clock?
Yeah,
I think that,
I have one.
Do you have one?
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys all have one on your phone.
Yeah, that's what I'm using.
No, I mean like for everybody. Like they can go to the website
like everybody can
and
see.
they can see like the little countdown clock, and they can check in and say, oh, you know, people who don't know how to read a fucking regular clock.
Or know what a calendar is.
Right. No, they can go to the countdown clock and say, oh my God, it is 5 days away.
We're so close.
Napier, that's a great idea. See, that's the kind of thinking that we need. We need these good ideas like a countdown clock. I didn't even think of countdown clock. That's good.
I think we should all just agree when this whole thing is starting. Then we can make a countdown clock.
Yeah. See, we all kind of left because, you know, the doors were locked. So there's like 7 shows that were kind of like, oh, well, we don't have anywhere to do the show now. And so everybody's kind of going back and forth as to like where we should go now. And so we all just kind of decided to make a place. And so the website is live now. You go to strangelabel.com. It's there. It's up. The stream is live now. We just have podcasts playing on it for the time being. And there's everybody's going back and forth on, you know, oh, should we have a big launch and like, you know, should we all get together and do a thing together? And I think it's like self-important. It's like, you know, the few people that would care will show up anyway.
But isn't it all self-important, Mike? I mean, we do a radio show on the internet. People can download it at their leisure. You know,
in the grand scheme of things, we're telling poop jokes on the internet. It's not really that. It's not really, and they're not even really great poop.
Wait. Let me hear your best poop joke.
I didn't. You got a poop joke, Napes?
Got a poop story.
Now, moving on.
I mean, is it humorous poop story?
I think so. But it involved me. There was this dude at the mall, and I went to go poop, and I sat down, and the dude kind of followed me in. Like, I don't know how closely he was, but I sat down about a moment or two later. Some other dude sat down directly next to my stall, which is, I mean, there was at least 14 other fucking stalls this dude could have gone into. Dude sat down right next to mine and started playing what I assume was pornography.
Like watching the pornographies on his phone?
That's what it sounded like.
Just like while he shit, or was he going in there to do some jacking?
Well, his pants were down and his underwear were off. I don't know, like, what he was doing on his side.
Did he tap your foot with his foot?
Yeah, did he kick out a wide stance?
Like, he might have been getting you in the mood.
Tap, tap, slide.
No, but his feet were shuffling a lot more than what you would think when you're passing logs.
You know, I took a shit in a Barnes & Noble one time, and a fella came and sat in the stall next to me and just started rifling through the Beastie Boys' greatest hits, like as loud as he could. And I guess, like, he didn't want me to hear the noise he was making. That's the only reasonable explanation I can think of. But, I mean, he went through, like, the entire Paul's Boutique album while he was sitting there taking a shit. Like, he'd listen to a couple of minutes of it and then switch to the next song. I'm just sitting there. I mean, it was loud. I think he had a speaker. I don't think it was just a phone. I think, like, he brought, like, a boombox in there with him.
I always feel like, shouldn't you put your phone on vibrate when you, I know you're using it, but if I use my phone and I forgot to put it on silent and it, like, get a text message ding while I'm in the stall and somebody's in the bathroom, I usually feel really uncomfortable about that whole situation.
Like, they know that you're playing on your phone while you're pooping?
Right, and I mean...
Aren't we all playing on our phone while we're pooping at this point?
Of course, but do we need to know that we're playing on our phones while we're pooping? You know what I mean? I don't think so.
I once listened to a dude play Angry Birds in the stall that was somewhat adjacent to me.
I got deeply, passionately into Doodle Jumper while I was pooping for a while. Like, every time I'd poop, that would be when I played me some Doodle Jumper.
Yeah, but how loud did you have the sound on?
That was my go-to. I didn't need the sound. I know the sound but now.
Yeah, but some people enjoy
I don't think I've had my phone turned up and, like, heard ringtones and stuff in a pretty long time.
No, but when you play Angry Birds, all the birds go, yay!
I'm too old for ringtones. I don't need it anymore. I get it a little vibrating, and I know that somebody's trying to contact me. Or I don't, and I call them back later.
The dude who was playing Angry Birds, I let out this giant fart and just blasted ass out of me. And it was just streaming out of me. And the only thing I could think to say was, hey, buddy, you get 3 stars.
What does any of this have to do with anything, though?
It's poop. We're telling poop jokes on the internet.
Oh. That
I am strange. Sorry I asked.
Yeah, that's a strange way to get there. I apologize. Guys. What else do we got? Travis, what were you telling me about Batman?
He's dead.
No, he's not.
Batman's dead.
You can't kill Batman.
They killed him. Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo killed Batman and the Joker. They're dead.
They died at the same time?
They did.
They killed each other?
They were in a massive fight. Joker had turned the entire city of Gotham into a bunch of weird Joker zombies with this gas, and Batman did stop him. Under the streets, they all got crushed and killed and stabbed. They're all dead. So now...
All the Joker zombies?
No, Joker and Batman. The
Sean,
Joker zombies
are
cool.
Are you a comic book guy?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you know that Batman's dead?
No, ever since he said it, yeah.
You just found out just now?
Yeah.
I didn't know either. Apparently, Batman and Joker killed each other, Sean.
Yeah, sounds
sorry
fun.
To bum you out.
Hey, no, it's fine. I was interested.
Well, they're following it up with now that Batman is, you know, presumed dead. Obviously, he's not dead. He'll come back. Because
is Batman Bruce Wayne or is he somebody else now?
No, he's Bruce Wayne. He's still okay. Bruce Wayne. Yeah. When they switched the continuity in DC Comics, everybody changed except Green Lantern and Batman. Batman's still pretty much exactly the same. But yeah, him and Joker got into it. They're both dead. And now, 2 months
Joker
later...
Joker just dead?
No, he was dead, and then he came back. He came back a while ago with his face ripped off. That he's he like, uh, used as a mask. He put his ripped off face on his face with string. So like he had a ripped off face mask of his own.
So he ripped off his own face.
No, I think it was in some kind of skirmish. He got his face tore off.
But then he put it back on.
Yeah, he's like, I really enjoy this face.
His face.
The laws of biology don't apply. This is not going to rot. This flesh isn't going to rot while it's off my face. So I'm just going to tie it back to my head and wear my dead face.
But now he's dead.
But then his face grew back or something. And yeah, now him and Batman are dead. And now, 2 months later, presumed dead, Gotham is like, oh, it's a sad day. Batman's dead. We're glad that he took Joker with him. But, you know, what a sad, terrible day for Gotham without Batman. So a corporation, you know, one of the big corporations in Gotham City decided that we need a Batman in Gotham. So now...
Robo-Batman.
Commissioner Gordon is a Robo-Batman bunny.
He's a bunny?
If you see the new suit, it looks like a Mecha Energizer bunny. And he's Commissioner Gordon is now the new Batman. Yeah, he's got big old bunny ears.
Do people know that he's Commissioner Gordon as Batman?
Yeah, they announce it. They have like a press conference where they say, "This town needs a Batman." And then Commissioner Gordon's like, "I'm your man." And then now he's Batman.
But then don't they just, like when he gets off work, they just show up at his house and kill him, right? People know about Commissioner Gordon.
Well, they knew about him before. They knew about him before. So now he's just Commissioner Gordon in a mech suit. So I'm still Commissioner Gordon. But now I'm in a robot.
Does he wear like a Batman suit or does he wear like his police badge?
It's the Batman robot bunny.
Huh.
He would definitely not be allowed on Farmers Only.
He is not a farmer.
I don't like it. They need to bring Batman back.
The internet doesn't like it.
I like how you haven't technically read any of the comics and just heard it from him, but have already been able to go, you know what, I don't like it.
No, I'm done with that. Bring back Bruce Wayne. He's Batman.
Any prior knowledge.
That's ostensibly, that's what our culture is now, is like, oh, you showed me a picture of this thing. I hate it.
like the Joker behind
like the Jared
Batgirl.
Leto, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Jared Leto Joker with the tattoos and stuff. We didn't talk about that yet.
Well, it just happened.
I don't like that either. I don't think Joker should have a grill.
The tattoos are not happening.
I gotta say, though, as somebody with a lot of tattoos, that guy has a good tattoo artist. Like,
it looks like a 4-year-old drew those on his body.
But I don't like the idea of like the Joker
without the Joker squirming.
The Joker having like a whole sleeve tattoo of Haas.
Well, that's the thing. Like, imagine the Joker even showing up at your tattoo parlor. Like, how would that even transpire? Like, you're just sitting there. It's kind of a slow night. You know, you maybe did a butterfly tramp stamp a little bit earlier, and then all of a sudden the white-skinned, green-haired Joker, who now has his teeth punched out and grills replacing them, walk in and he's all like, "Hi,
I would like a lot of Joker-themed tattoos, because I am, in fact, the Joker."
I've been thinking about getting some ink.
Well, it's funny, you know how like they double check when they do wordings, they also make you like double check and sign off on the spelling. You wonder if he was like, "All right, instead of just to double check, you want ha ha."
Yes, I want you to...
Spell that right? What font?
Cover my entire arm with sloppy ha's, please.
And then I would like you to tattoo damaged on my forehead, but use a different, like, I don't know, like a calligraphy
Something pretty. It's going to be on my face.
This is where I want the artist in you to come out. You go ahead and calligraphize my face.
But just remember, I'm the Joker, and if you fuck it up, I will stab your throat out.
But now he's dead, so it doesn't even matter. Now that the Joker's dead, then they don't have to make that movie anymore, right?
Oh, they'll still make it. It's got super hot Margot Robbie in it. She's got to be Harley Quinn.
I don't understand.
Oh, I saw a photo of her in costume earlier today.
She looks good.
Yeah.
Can't we all just collectively say we know you're not killing Batman and tell him to stop it?
No.
I mean, we know Batman's coming back. Stop it.
Yeah, but that's
they said Wolverine's dead. Wolverine's not dead. You're not going to kill Wolverine.
That's why you're supposed to just enjoy the stories in the interim. Wolverine is actually dead for a while. Marvel is getting rid of X-Men and the Fantastic Four because they're pissed off at
the argument with Fox.
Yep, and they're like, oh, we can't use our characters? Well, guess what? We're not promoting them with comic books.
And they took away, like, they made it take down all the Fantastic Four posters in the Marvel building so that the heads wouldn't have to see it. So mad yep. about it.
Isn't that just petty?
Yes, absolutely.
But just like how Colossus was dead and everybody else is dead, like, it doesn't matter. There's always alternate universes. Hell, they rebooted the entire freaking series. Both universes created new ones. We're just like, oh, buy that one too. So it's they're not, shutting like, them. Not going to do that again.
They're shutting them down, though. They're doing
Oh, yeah, they are, but
Secret
it's just
Wars.
Like, when they get rid of them, doesn't mean they can't create them again at a later point in time, whenever they want to recreate a character.
Yeah, because it's comic
books. For reason. It's not like there's not going to be another big event where it's like, turns out this mutant can do this thing, or, you know, like, it's just going to happen. It's like, oh, no, all the mutants are gone. Oh, no, like, there's a civil war. Oh, no, there's fucking Infinity Gauntlet. Oh, no, there's, you know what I mean? It's fine.
It's the age of apocalypse where everything you know is not the same.
Yeah, you killed Gambit, man. You can fuck right the fuck off of that age of apocalypse shit.
That
series pissed me off so bad. And how do you, why would his hand not grow back? Because it was shot by Cyclops. That doesn't make any sense. Sorry, that personal Age of Apocalypse.
You mean the guy with the healing factor? Why didn't his hand grow back?
Yeah, the guy with the healing factor can't seem to regrow a hand. And then also, like, Cloak from Cloak of Death, Cloak killed Gambit. Why would you do that? Just so rude. Best character, and you kill him with a coat? That's ridiculous.
But it's Sean, a big coat.
defeat a Prince of Thieves with a jacket? Fucking
Sean,
ridiculous.
I'm fairly certain that you and Travis just became best friends.
That's absolutely legitimate. Sean is now my best friend.
Do you think that, I mean, like, Scientology basically came from science fiction novels, like bad ones. Do you think that there's any way that we could somehow make some kind of religion and get it off the ground, like, based on comic books and, like, the theory that, like, when we die, really there's just, like, an alternate version of us somewhere else with, like a scar on their face and like, a metal arm? I mean, that's something that we could probably convince at least some people of and get going. And then we just got to get them to give us all of their money.
It's that kind of talk that's going to keep you off farmersonly.com.
Well, I think especially now with the way that the comic book culture has infiltrated, like, normal pop culture. I mean, the Avengers 2 made, what, $196 million over the weekend?
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
that's
they're disappointed.
I think it made less than the first Avengers movie.
They were planning on 210, so this 196, they got to just be going, fuck, what did we do wrong?
I guarantee you that there are plenty of people just like me that wanted to see it opening weekend and were like, I am not fucking with all those people. I'm going to wait till Tuesday when nobody goes and watches movies.
What else was going on during the opening weekend in America? It was also the NFL draft and also NBA playoffs and Stanley Cup playoffs.
And Mayweather Pacquiao.
And nobody could go to any movies in Baltimore.
It's just not reflective of the actual weekend itself. Like,
and the Kentucky Derby. There was, like, nothing but stuff going on. Well, speaking of that Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, too, $106 million what Avengers 2 made. Floyd Mayweather made over half of what the box office was for the Avengers.
What, like $60 million?
He made $100 million just like a check. They paid him straight out a check. They're talking that he will make about what the box office for the Avengers was. After all of the pay-per-view comes in, they figure he'll make about $200 million
just
from that one fight.
Just to put on pillow gloves and fight a Mexican dude.
Yep. $200 million.
Well,
he's
being paid to play the villain. Like, he's undefeated and he's a domestic abuser and an awful human being. That's the thing. You want to see him get knocked down. He's playing a role and he's doing it extremely well.
He's doing it really well because I
Do you think
I
it's a character? You think he's putting it
well,
on?
He
or do you think he's just awful?
That's what happened with him and T.I. when he tried fucking with T.I. and he got, talking shit about his girlfriend or something like that, and then Tiana was like, I will shoot you. Stop it. And then Mayweather was like, you need to get your bitch under control. And then Mayweather's tour bus got shot up. And then 50 Cent then came out with a video going like, Mayweather, he's not fucking with you. He will shoot you. It doesn't matter how big your fists are, he will shoot you. Bullets will still kill you. And like, then it started like a, it was a little beef thing going on for a little while.
Yeah, I guess that's really something that you kind of got to learn, is even if you're good at fighting, like somebody might just come burn your house down. You can't
like,
fight.
How good you are, T.I.'s king shit.
And he's kind of a little guy. I mean, he's not like a heavyweight boxer. He's kind of short.
Yeah. Turns out he can still lift a gun, though.
Yeah.
That's an important skill in beating a boxer.
Lifting and pointing a gun.
Yeah.
You win.
Well, you said $100
million? $100 million was the check that they wrote him.
Was it one of those big checks?
No, I think it was a regular size check because apparently he showed reporters, but he told them they couldn't take pictures of it.
Oh.
Well, yeah, so it's a regular check.
It has those bank routing numbers at the bottom of them, and it's an account with $100 million in it.
That's probably it. Like, don't take a picture of my routing number because I want this $100 million.
Right. I mean, you could just, like, take those bank routing numbers and just, like, call a payment into, you know, like your credit card bill now and stuff. You just get somebody to write you a check, and then you just have their bank routing number. And then
The craziest thing about the whole deal, though, is, like, I haven't given a shit about boxing since guys were, like, roundhouse kicking each other in the temple for entertainment. You know, the UFC usurped, like, boxing. Like, it's not even entertaining. This guy made $100 million. People paid $40,000 for ringside seats. People paid $100 to watch this shit on pay-per-view. And it's, like, UFC light.
It's kind of crazy to think that somebody would pay $100 to watch like a black guy and a Mexican guy fight.
Well, they were charging like
when you could go see like
names.
big giant
no,
green
don't.
Guy fight a robot for 15.
Right. And I'd much rather see that. It's probably more entertaining.
Well, that's like the Simpsons episode where Homer boxes Dredrick Tatum. And he still gives him a $100,000 check at the very end of it. Like, it's like, even though, like, didn't even make one round and left the fight early and threw it in, there's so much money involved with that stuff regardless.
It's so crazy. Like, is it a status thing? Is it the fact that people are willing to spend $40,000 on a ringside seat is what is the draw?
You were there. I wonder if the Marlins guy was there.
It'd be cheaper to just follow him around a lot and wait until he gets in a fight with someone.
Which probably happens pretty often.
Have you guys seen the legend of the Marlins guy? The guy in the orange Marlins jacket that gets tickets to, like, everything. He's, like, at every World Series game, and he's always, like, right behind home plate.
Was he on that credit card commercial talking about how he's at every Super Bowl?
I don't know. I don't know what the guy does, but he's all over the United States showing up at sporting events and sitting behind home plate with the Marlins shirt on. You watch any game that's important, and he's there. I don't know who this guy is or what he does, but that's got to be expensive. How does he keep doing it?
I'm going to go ahead and take a stab at this one and say that he's rich.
He's just rich for being rich. I mean, you gotta have some kind of
some
job,
people
right?
Actually are rich for being rich. It's a fucked up world. Like, just, and he could have inherited and just always been that jerk. And he's like the brother to somebody who did something good.
It's not fair though. So he needs some pain in his life.
Of course,
Sean.
It's not fair. But it's still like, it's not like he's flaunting it. I mean, he's a Marlins fan. Let it go.
Yeah, first.
Why does he get to go gallivanting around in his Marlins gear? That's not fair.
Obviously, if he's going to all these sporting events, he doesn't have a fucking job, but he has to show up at or anything, and he has a lot of money. And if the worst way that he could spend his money is not, like, harassing people or doing anything else, but, like, going and being an obedient audience member, solid.
That's pretty solid.
That's if someone's like, let's kill the 1%. They keep going to all these games. And make very respectful.
paying thousands of dollars to sit right behind home plate, and I'm shitting on the guy. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Marlins guy. Sean's right. I have no reason to be mad at Marlins guy. He's not doing anything to bother anybody. I mean, there's plenty of rich people doing some really fucked up things. And this guy isn't really doing anything. It bothers me that I look behind home plate and see him there having fun.
I want to see if he has a wedding ring on. Where is she at?
I've never paid attention to if the same woman is sitting next to him at all these things. I just see that
America's most eligible bachelor.
Yeah, I just see that. Oh, he doesn't
go to baseball games and stuff? That sounds like a pretty sick relationship. I'd fuck him.
God, that's probably why he's rich. He doesn't have to buy two of everything.
I'm going to assume that he has a very successful factory farm, and he just gets his dates for the sporting events at farmersonly.com.
Solid.
See, I was good, Travis.
Was it better than the hot dog in the hallway?
You yourself big time there, buddy.
Cool, thank you, thank you.
See, he brought it back around. It was a callback, callback.
Do you think that he buys hot dogs for every one of his dates, and then they can only eat them if he throws it down a hallway?
No. I don't think he does that at all.
Man. You had it. You had it.
I'm just trying to work that in somehow successfully, you know? It's just not working.
Sean, where can people get the album at, man? Amazon?
Yeah, it'll be on Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, Sirius XM, Pandora, ASTRecords.com.
But don't get it on Pandora or Spotify, right? Go to AST Records or iTunes.
Yeah, give me money.
Yeah, definitely. Give the guy money.
That's definitely preferred.
If they listen to it on Spotify, you don't see anything from that. That's what Jay-Z was saying, right?
I just see an extremely small amount comparatively.
Like less than a penny, you think?
I don't know. I'll find out soon.
So like I have to listen to the same track like 14 times for you to see.
Supposedly there's something to do with the algorithm. It's like not even just individual tracks. Also, it measures whether somebody listens from start to finish of the whole album. Like, and then some places like Sirius XM and Pandora, they buy by the track, so they don't necessarily take the whole thing anyways or care about the thing as a whole or its continuity.
Guys,
which if I can say the best way to listen to comedy. Is to take an entire special and then cut it into bits and only play, like, the middle part without any of the setup for people, because that's when you find it the most funny.
Context is bullshit.
Yeah, man.
Saying. So, guys, what I'm telling you to do is, when it comes out on Spotify, let's say you don't want to give Sean your $12 for the CD. When you're going to bed at night, you turn on Spotify, and you hit the repeat button, and then you just go to bed. Because Sean might see something from that.
Well, if you have to, start a Sean White, like, playlist, right? I mean, say, I like this guy. Give me other suggestions. Maybe he sees a little bit more on the back end of that.
Well, obviously, I'm a fan of everything that involves people listening to the album. So, you guys go ahead and get on this. I'm going to expect a report Tuesday on the desk, and we'll go over the finer details.
And if I can use our new rating system, now that we're going to be on a new network, we're instituting a new rating system for our guests, Art, and we go one dick, two dicks. You, sir, have earned an entire wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Jeez. Oh, thank you.
Very good.
I'm assuming that's on the good end of the scale.
Yeah.
If someone came up to me and offered me a wheelbarrow full of dicks, I don't know if I would think, I won.
Maybe well, you'd have to, right? Like, it's an entire wheelbarrow full.
Yeah, you don't want to look a wheelbarrow full of dicks in the mouth.
Somebody spent a...
Sean, we appreciate it, man. SeanWhiteComedy.com, is that...
Yes, that is correct.
Cool. And they can follow you on Twitter at SeanWhiteComedy.
Don't Perfect. Google him, though, because it will suggest that you meant the snowboarder guy.
And... We're working on that. I'm taking it back, okay? There's only so many more Olympics that bastard has in him.
It says, did you mean Sean White?
I know. No! It's like, what do you mean? I don't know what I'm looking for. Stop it. Google, we've talked about this. It's been 10 years now.
We're in your corner, and we're going to get Google to change its mind.
Right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate fucking it. Google. And thank you guys very much for having me on. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for doing it, man. And we'll keep in touch.
Yay.
Yay. Take it easy, man.
Do you think Travis was jumping a little too high?
Oh, man. Travis is on a roll tonight. Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back in a few minutes with Chris Hansen of To Catch a Predator fame.
Hey, Mikey, go to the bathroom.
While the WFOD guys are off making stinky, we'd like to take this opportunity to entice you with an exclusive offer. Are you currently experiencing dissatisfaction with your defecation because you're wasting your time reading Facebook updates about your cousin's latest breakup? Did OP fail to deliver again? Are you experiencing gastrointestinal discontent because these precious porcelain moments are wasting your phone's battery life? Have you recently consumed Americanized Mexican food delivered to you via drive-thru window? We at Rocktown Press feel your pains and have personally handcrafted a solution for your water closet woes that can be discreetly delivered to your front door. New in 2015, Rocktown Press unveils the Taco Bell Survival Pack.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell.
For a mere $39.99 at rocktownpress.bigcartel.com, you get not one, not two, but three pieces of quality bathroom reading material, enough matches to cover the stink of 1,000 shits, and an emergency roll of toilet paper.
Say, what kind of toilet paper you got back there?
Two-ply, my friend, and only the best. But don't jump off the John just yet. Our managers have approved a very special offer for Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks listeners. Enter the promo code WFOD at checkout and receive 20% off your order at rocktownpress.bigcartel.com. It's not only good on the Taco Bell Survival Pack, but everything's site-wide. So head on over to rocktownpress.bigcartel.com, use the promo code WFOD, save some money, and make your next bathroom break complete with tales of underage drinking, suicide, prescription drug abuse, summer camp, journalism, celebrities, and more suicide.
I'm Charlie! Later, March!
On the line, we have Chris Hansen of To Catch a Predator fame, who's currently funding his new project, Hansen vs. Predator, on Kickstarter. Visit HansenVsPredator.com for all the details. Chris, how's it going?
It's going really well. You know, it's exciting. One of the questions I'm asked most on social media is, you know, when are you going to do another Predator investigation? And so we started thinking about it, and with all the change in the landscape of the digital media and all the different ways that people can approach other people online, I thought it was time. And it was also time to let the people who, you know, are demanding it be a part of it. And this will allow me to have the creative ability and to control the content and do it the way I think it should be done.
And you brought awareness to the public in the infancy of the internet. Like, I don't think people, you probably don't get enough credit for that. I mean, like, nobody probably had any idea what their kids had access to.
Well, you know, it was interesting because when we started, I mean, we basically had decoys on chat rooms on AOL and Yahoo. And today, think about it. How many different ways are there to communicate online with Snapchat and Twitter and Craigslist and Backpage and Kick and,
right.
You know, there are dozens and dozens of ways to communicate. So it's all different now. And plus, when we started, kids were communicating, people were communicating on desktops and laptops. And now your communication device is in your pocket. So it's a whole different world out there.
Yeah. And you know, you can probably up the creepy factor because I imagine now with, you know, voice and video and stuff, you can actually, it's probably more incriminating for you to get these people on tape saying the things. The only problem is, like, you reading the written transcripts was my favorite part of the show.
Well, we're still going to do that. I mean, at some point, no matter how technology has changed, or, you know, it has changed on many different levels, from the communication on, you know, the social space and the digital space to, you know, the way we record and conduct the production of these investigations. But at the end of the day, it still comes down to me having, you know, the transcripts and having a discussion. Now, we may have technology now that can let us videotape, for instance, a person in his daily life before he agrees to show up. I mean, that exists, and that is why this series is going to be different from, you know, the previous one.
Well, Mike, too, I think you brought up
it still comes down to the confrontation, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. That's the best part.
I really goofed up. I goofed up because I should have started off the interview with telling Chris to take a seat.
Oh, no.
I messed up big time.
Well, Mike, though, you brought up the fact that it brought awareness to people, like parents in general. But I think that even more important is bringing the awareness to the kids who are using this technology. I just don't think, since they've been born into this technology, that they really are aware of the dangers that could be posed online when they're using these, you know, when they're using the Skype talking to people that they don't know, or the Snapchat or texting. I don't think that they really understand what they're getting themselves into a lot of times.
No, I think you're exactly right. You know, my sons are 23 and 21, so they're sort of past that. But, you know, I kept a close eye on them when, you know, they were on chat rooms and doing interactive gaming. Today, it's a whole different deal. You know, as you said, kids are out there chatting, and I think what the original series did was to create a dialogue and raise awareness that didn't exist before, and that's what we're out to do again at a whole different level because technology has changed so much in the last few years.
Chris, I got a great idea. You're going to love this. Have you ever considered doing a flipped version where you meet up with kids that you solicit online and scold them for being tricked and have like a mascot, like a McGruff the Crime Dog or like the Forest Fire Bear? Like,
you know, to be very honest with you, that's an incredibly great idea, and I've talked about it with my producers over the years, and the only problem with that is it is hard for me to justify doing it because I can't find a way to not like victimize young people, and I would never do that just for a television moment.
Right,
I
mean, right.
I'll
yeah,
go
yeah.
after a guy. You see what I'm saying? So the reverse.
I think that's
thing,
what that's it, what Pete it, Townsend it's a, got. Like,
look, it's a, exactly. It's a legitimate idea, and it's great, and we've talked about it, but I can't get my arms around a way to do it in which we don't, like, punish a young person and make them feel bad about themselves. I'm just not going
to
do that.
I would be completely behind trying to make that iconic mascot, though, that, you know, there is McGruff
the
Crime
Dog.
No,
the mascot's a great idea. Right. I think it's all great, and people have done that very successfully across the country. I'm just saying that, you know, I've seen stories, you know, on the network where they, you know, they snare kids into kind of a funny situation and they shame them in a way that they don't deserve. Whereas an adult who's coming to meet a child for sex, and to commit a crime, I have no problem with them being shamed or prosecuted, you know, or put on television. But it's a funky situation when you turn it around. And I just never figured out a way to do it in a way that I'm comfortable.
Which makes sense. I'm the father of a 6-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son.
Well,
so
then you know.
I'm not to that point yet, obviously. You know, they're discovering technology, and mostly it's playing on grandma's iPad to play the Dora the Explorer games. But some point, they're going to be there. And to be able to open up that dialogue is very important because, I mean, like you said, it's at the palm of their hands now. So you don't have to be in the house at the desktop computer, which is in the living room. Now, like, you can be at school or between classes where you can be chatting with these people.
Well, you know, I give speeches all the time, you know, to police groups, to, you know, students, teachers. And you know, I always get the parent who says, well, you know, I'm just not going to allow internet in my house because I'm going to protect my daughters. Well, you know, guess what? That's fine, and that's your personal decision, and I respect that. But the reality is this. Those kids are going to get on the internet, on their smartphones. They're going to get on it in their friend's house, at the public library, at the Starbucks. Most towns are wired, you know, from front to back. So they're going to have access to it. So instead of just saying, you know, we're going to have a zero-tolerance policy and you can't do it, the best way to protect your children is to understand how a predator thinks and to educate them so they don't fall into the trap. And that's the whole theory behind the show, is that when I, you know, anybody can jump out of the bushes and make somebody run away. That's easy. The biggest challenge for me has always been, how do I get these guys to sit down and let me get in their minds for 10, 15, 20 minutes and put that on TV and let people see it so they understand how this happens. And the better you know how a predator's mind work, whether it's a sexual predator targeting children or a financial predator targeting your parent or your grandparent, once you understand that, you can better protect the potential victim. And that's what it's all about.
So from all your years of doing this, what would how does a predator's mind work?
I think I there are three different
things. That's a broad question.
it's a broad question, but it's something I've given a lot of thought to.
Right.
And quite honestly, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm not qualified to speak to it on a
right.
clinical level, but I can tell you from my basic experience and having interviewed some 300 of these guys, you know, over the years and getting ready to do it again.
300?
I think they break down into 300.
Jeez.
And I think they break down into three different categories. There's the hardcore sexual offender who would be doing this with or without the internet. These guys can't be fixed. There's a middle group that is active in this, you know, space, who probably wouldn't be doing it without the internet, without the access, the anonymity, and, you know, the ability to say things to people that they wouldn't say in person. And those guys could be dangerous, so they have to be monitored, and we've seen a lot of that. And then there's this third group that's, you know, they're in their young 20s, they're socially awkward, and they'll take advantage of a girl who's 14 and try to hook up and do something. And those are the guys who can probably get a rap on the hand and say, look, if you do it again, you're going to jail, and they'll never do it again. So what we want as a society is a, you know, one size fix that will, you know, end the problem. And it's not that way. You know, we have not come to terms in society with dealing with sexual predators and sexual predation. And we need to do that because until we, you know, stop the demand, we're not going to stop the problem.
You could always have a thing on the show where you teach parents how to block certain websites on computers.
Like chats and things like that. I guess child-proofing things. But eventually, you know, they'll find a way.
As a parent, though, if you make something off limits, if you say something is,
yeah,
you know,
that makes it that
you
much
can't
more
do it.
Appealing.
That's immediately what they're going to gravitate towards.
It's forbidden food. It's just like, mm-hmm. you know, kids at college. You know, when I was in college, you could have a beer at 18, and now you can't. It's 21, and so there's no mechanism for a responsible kid to go, you know, have a beer at 19 years old. And it's the same thing here. People want to say, okay, the internet is forbidden. It's not forbidden. It's out there. It's ubiquitous. So you need to educate. You need to tell kids age appropriately when they're young. Look, there are adults out there who will try to trick you. And kids will relate to that. You can also say, by the way, you shouldn't talk to anybody online who you don't know in real life. Because the person who comes online, who looks
Travis.
Like a cute 14-year-old girl, 14-year-old boy, could be a fat 60-year-old in his basement in his underwear surrounded by pizza boxes trying to trick you. And I think if you're that graphic about it, and as crude as that may sound, I think that gets kids' attention.
And, you know, you've kind of, like, become, like, the poster boy for this cause. I mean, like, you know, you've become, like, synonymous with this topic. And so I imagine you get recognized, like, when you go to the grocery store, like, are people trying to pay attention to who you're looking at? And I guess what I'm asking is it really weird to be you?
Well, it's you know, I get asked all the time. You know, people come up and say, you know, you are you Chris Hansen? I said, well, I get that all the time. They said, does it piss you off? I said, well, sometimes. But I've been on television since I was 21 years old, and so I get it, and it's part of being a public figure. And so you have to accept that going in. But yes, I mean, I was shooting a story today for my new Discovery show. It's a crime investigative show, and, you know, got stopped several times, and that's part of the deal.
Killer instinct, correct?
Yeah.
Well, killer instinct, right, exactly. And I didn't expect, you know, Predator to be what it was. I was happy just doing, you know, crime and investigative stories for Daylight NBC, and it became something bigger than anybody expected. So fine, I'll take that, and I'll take the responsibility of you know, giving speeches and doing things and trying to, you know, educate people to protect children. And that's why we wanted to take this thing to the next level, because, you know, we did a lot of these for NBC and Dateline, and you know, they continued in reruns and expanded versions. But I think it's time to really get back out there and do this in a meaningful way. And that's why we went to the Kickstarter space, because it allows us the creative ability, the independence, and the ability to distribute it in a way that's never been done before. So our plan is to go out and do investigations, and initially do stories that will be on, you know, the internet, distributed digitally, and then repackage them for broadcast. So we'll reach people in two different ways. I think that's the way of the future, whatever your content is.
So are you talking about like YouTube or Netflix, or you haven't really decided?
We're in discussions with a lot of people on the digital space, and you know, I think once we finish the first investigation, we'll know where we're going with it, and we'll establish a metric for distribution. And again, this is the business part of it, and you know, I'm really into the content part of it because I think it's important. I mean, I have a partner who deals with the business part of it. I just want to go do stories and create content that impact people, educate people, and protect people.
I want to say too that the digital platforms, you know, you're in discussions and everything, but to have these available on demand to where a family can sit down and say, you know, listen to this is really important. Let's sit down for the half hour, let's watch this and see how important it is for you to really make informed decisions about what you're doing online. I think to be able to offer that in an on-demand capacity is probably, you know, the best course of action. You're right to take advantage of the new digital media with it. And I
think you hit it right on the head. I think that in the average investigation, you figure that between 19 and 24 guys are going to walk in the door. So that's 19 to 24 episodes that we'll do digitally that are 3 to 4 minutes because, as you guys know all too well, that's the, you know, appetite. That's what people get. And then we repackage them into, you know, half hour episodes for whether it's, you know, Discovery or Netflix or whoever ends up being a partner with us. I just think it's a continuing education program, and it's going to keep people on their game. It's going to keep the bad guys, you know, off balance. And I think it'd be irresponsible not to do it, quite honestly.
I imagine that just knowing that you're out there again will probably deter some people, right?
I think if I was
a predator, I'm thinking Chris Hansen's doing a show again, I think twice before I take that lemonade. You know,
But you know, you gotta remember that we did this for, you know, many years, you know, 6-7 years, and, you know, got to the point where it went from guys walking in and not knowing whether I'm a cop, the mad dad, or whatever.
Just saying, oh, you're Chris Hansen.
Exactly. I mean, we're at the Jersey Shore. I walk out, and the guy is, you know, pouring his marijuana out on the countertop to show the decoy, and it's time to go in, and I walk out, and before I can say a word, he says, oh, you're Chris Hansen. I said, well, how did you know that? He said, well, I watch it all the time. I never miss an episode. When I do, I download it from the internet.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, dude, do you even get the trouble that you're in? You know, I mean, it was amazing. So I guess it's going to be fascinating to get back out there. And, you know, obviously, you know, I've been doing a lot of other investigations. And, you know, the funny part is, you know, obviously I'm best known for that particular series, but it's never been more than 20% of what I've done in the network space. But it has resonated with people, and it became, you know, sort of iconic. I mean, you know, I always tell the story, you know, my boys who, you know, could give a rat's ass about their father being on television because he's always been on television. That's just how he makes a living. You know, when South Park did a parody, suddenly I had street cred. Suddenly I was cool. You know, I was a big deal. You know,
I think I vaguely remember that. That was a long time ago, but I do remember that South Park episode.
Le Petit Tourette. Yes, it was quite something. my agent texted me. I was on the West Coast and he was on the East Coast. He said, South Park is doing it tonight. I said, well, that's interesting. How's it going? He said, it was pretty funny. He says it's taken a dark turn.
I remember a couple of months ago, I read a book by B.J. Novak. Do you know who B.J. Novak is?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
did you read the chapter in the book about you?
I did. That's pretty funny.
it was great. I think I believe it was a fictional story about Chris Hansen taking his daughters to a One Direction concert.
Yes, exactly.
And how uncomfortable he would make everyone because everybody wouldn't like be able to get into the concert because they'd be thinking that Chris Hansen was looking at them and thinking they were weird for being into underage boys. It was great. It was funny. But
well, Catch a Predator was, you know, such a small part of your broadcasting career since you, like you said, you've been doing it for so long. It's got to be pretty great to be synonymous with a cause that resonates with so many people, and that you can have a very successful Kickstarter campaign. I mean, you have 10 days to go, and you're at, you know, what, you're just shy of 20,000 of your goal. I mean, you're,
yeah,
it's a large amount of money.
We'll be fine. Yeah, we'll be fine, and that's going to be great. And people have been very generous and very supportive, and you know, a lot of people, you know, will get involved in the last 10 days.
When do you start getting nervous, Chris? You're not nervous at all?
No, I'm not nervous at all, because I know we're going to make it, and I know people out there who care about it, and we also have branded sponsors, and you know, if we make the goal, you know, whatever we have to kick in above and beyond, we'll do it. We're committed to do it, and what this has done is it's allowed, you know, our really organic fan base, if you will, to be involved in it at a level that people care about. And that's the magic of it. That's the magic of the crowdfunding, is it allows people to have a piece of it. It allows me to create a metric for the future to continue to do it, because this way I'll know how we can both distribute digitally and repackage for broadcast. And that ensures the profitability of doing the digital thing, which is important, which is, I think, how people digest things now, but isn't always profitable. So if we have that plus the broadcast, one pays for the other, and everybody gets it. So some people are going to get it for free, some people are going to pay, and companies are going to pay, but everybody's going to get the content. And I think at the end of the day, everybody getting the content is the most important thing. So I'm willing to go stretch and to do things in a different creative way to ensure that it happens.
Well, I'm excited to see what comes out. I appreciate you doing this. HansenVersusPredator.com is the website. Go donate now. Chris isn't nervous, but I'm nervous. So
we're going to be just fine. I want you to be calm, unless you show up in one of my kitchens.
I want to see this get made. I'm excited to see it. Chris,
we're going to do it. Don't worry. We're going to make it happen.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
What you're doing here, Chris.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on, and you guys have a wonderful night, and I appreciate it very much.
I was going to ask him for a bumper.
Oh,
what?
I knew you were
great. You know what I was trying to do, Travis.
Yep. And he wanted to get off, so I wanted to help him.
I think that went well. I really do.
There is one thing I wanted to ask him, and I didn't get the chance to, and it made me sad.
What's that?
I wanted to ask him if he thought that there were, you know how people are fucking crazy in this world?
Yeah.
Do you think that there were like dudes like hitting up online chat rooms and going to boys' houses to see if they could meet Chris Hansen? Like they would get there and it's just like a 14-year-old like, man, fuck this, and then
just
leaves.
I just want to meet
Chris Hansen. Like, yeah, no, no, that's not. We're not here for that. Well, we're here for TV.
What's really funny is I told a couple friends of mine that we were interviewing Chris Hansen,
mm-hmm.
and they went and looked up the. He just did a Reddit Ask Me Anything.
Oh, really?
And so I was kind of scrolling through that, and one of the top questions he didn't answer, and everybody was really bummed out that he didn't answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote it down because I was thinking, oh, I'm going to answer the Reddit question that...
Oh, he wouldn't have answered it if he didn't answer it there.
Well, I mean, I think maybe they just asked it after he left or something. Oh. But it was like
those Reddit things happen where they can't always see all the questions being
right.
asked.
But so that was the only question I didn't get to. So again,
what was it?
We don't have the answer. I just never really found a way to get into it. But I was going to ask him if, like, you know, I guess it got more into like the, you know, the business end of things. But I was going to ask him if like predators have to sign a waiver to be shown on TV. you know, because
yeah,
they're showing
does.
Their face and everything, and you'd think that if I'm going to show your face, that you would have to sign some kind of waiver. And I would imagine I'd just say, "Fuck no, I'm not signing that waiver."
Well, yeah,
I don't want my
an episode
face
of Cops.
On TV.
Watch an episode of Cops. There's like half of the people are blurred out.
Right, right. But that was that
Do you
was
think
fun.
It was
I had,
fake? Like
was,
those...
I only had one. I had one or two questions that I didn't get to ask, but didn't seem right. I was curious if anybody ever made the houses. Like they showed up and they're like, "This house is way too nice for the person that I was talking to. I'm fucking not going in there." And then the second one was how uncomfortable he was the first time he had to like ambush the predator.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I was thinking technically they're not committing a crime. I mean, in the like, for example.
No, they didn't.
I mean, they intend to.
No, yeah. Soliciting a minor is committing a crime.
Yeah. But Travis.
No, I think they had him bring a beer. Like,
Travis, stick with me here.
Okay.
If I go into a grocery store and there's a table of cookies and I grab cookies and walk out of the store, but I didn't see the sign underneath on the table that said free samples. Now, if I intended to steal those cookies, it doesn't really matter because those cookies are free and I took them. So what I'm saying is, like, the girls that they are talking to online aren't minors. They think they're minors, but they're not. They're people posing as minors. So, like, if I'm soliciting that girl for sex and she's not a minor, did I commit a crime?
No, because the thing that they got away with in the beginning of To Catch a Predator was they actually used 13 to 17-year-olds to do it. That's how they nailed these guys, because he was working with, I can't remember what the hell the organization was called. It was something about, it wasn't pedophiles or whatever, but it was like perverts or some shit. It was like some kind of like organization that they absolutely did use 13 to 17-year-olds to talk to these guys to lure them to the houses.
I don't think I could sign that consent form to have my kid do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a dark path to put your kid on, man.
Like, you can get somebody else's kid to do that. Mine's going to go play fucking soccer.
Yeah, and she doesn't need to be on TV bad. We'll get her a Colgate commercial.
Like, you don't have enough checks to write those therapy bills.
Right,
fuck that.
Yeah. Just talking for hours and hours to this creep online to get them to show up at your house. But I am excited to see, like, how they utilize, like, today's technology. I mean, with Snapchat, they, you know, send a quick picture of their donger to people. And I mean, like, there's so many things you can do now. I mean, like, we've become, it seems like, you know, we didn't heed his warning and we've become so much more connected. Right?
I have a feeling that most people growing up nowadays, they know. Everybody's had that fucking parent chat. Like, okay, here's the internet. Here's what you don't do. By the way, everybody's a 40-year-old dude, and they want to have sex with you. Keep that in the back of your mind, little Jimmy.
Well, the problem is they really don't know what they're doing. They think that Snapchat and Skype is completely anonymous. So they go on there and they talk to these chicks that they have, you know, I mean, obviously it's not talking to a bunch of old guys, but they talk to these girls that they go to school with and they're like, you know, they're showing their things and the girls are showing their things. And then all of a sudden later it comes up that happened, and those things don't go away. They can access those accounts if they think a crime happened with minors, even if it's minor to minor. And they can absolutely look at those accounts and be like, hey, you're doing inappropriate things. Now you have a counselor and you're lucky you're not kicked out of school.
Travis, yeah. I'm proud of us.
Because we didn't say fuck.
We transitioned like a motherfucker.
I think that we're getting a lot better at interviews than our little hurricane days.
I don't know, that Sean White one. Oh.
Don't
bring up Little Hurricane ever again. I should have asked Chris Hansen if he ever wanted to make a romantic comedy about when he was going to one of the houses to catch a predator, but really it turned out that he fell in love with one of the people that he did. And then it's like a...
your pitches stink. I want to throw this out there, and I doubt Mr. Hansen's going to listen back to our interview. But
oh, no,
probably not.
His people might.
He probably turned out 20 of these today.
I saw this story about the event in Garland, Texas that people showed up to shoot up the...
Muhammad
Art Contest.
Yeah.
So both subjects showed up with like a fuckload of guns and were going to shoot up everybody who showed up to this event. It was a freedom of speech demonstration where they had a Draw Muhammad Art Contest.
Yeah, that sounds like something somebody would shoot up.
Yeah,
this is my My take on it real quick is I think it was successful because the only two people that died were the people that showed up to try to kill everybody.
Well, that's what
right?
I'm thinking. I'm thinking that could be
to catch a terrorist. Yep.
You have these art contests all over the United States, and then you just don't actually, you have a bunch of mannequins in the window, like, you remember in Home Alone 2 when he had all the mannequins that had, like, the dinner party?
They had a party. They're dancing to,
you have that, only they have little easels and berets, and they're drawn pictures, and then you have, like, a whole bunch of, like, SWAT teams just waiting for these guys to show up, and
the SWAT team is the one pulling the strings to make it look like the drawing.
Yeah, and like they're playing a song like really loud. Like, what should the song be? Like Louie Louie?
No, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
That's the same one from it works. Yeah. Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And then seeing that'll piss them off because it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so and then you just have them, and then when the terrorists show up, you either shoot them or like if they're willing to go quietly, then Chris Hansen comes.
Then you
out.
Shoot him anyway.
Chris Hansen comes out and says, "Why don't you take a seat? You know, why are you terrorist? And get into the minds of the terrorists."
So you showed up today to do what?
So what?
Did you know they were mannequins?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Why does the drawing of Muhammad make you so angry?
Well, I'm pretty sure showing up with guns is different than showing up with a half chub.
And you know what? In the terrorists' defense, they've told us that that pisses them off. And we should probably just... I mean, like, why do we have to draw Muhammad? Why do we have to do that? They don't like it when we do that, so let's just not do it. I don't have any desire to draw a picture of Muhammad.
Who gives a shit what they don't like, though?
Yeah.
Like,
I get it. Who gives a shit? But, like, why do I have to do it?
Why can't you do it?
I mean, like, I can do it.
Who the fuck are these people?
But what? I mean, like, I don't really even know what Muhammad looks like. So really, I'm just going to draw a stereotypical picture of, like, a Muslim-looking guy.
He looks like Osama bin Laden.
I looked it up. I was looking up what Muhammad looks like, and I found a description of Muhammad. It says that he is middle-sized. He's not fat. He's a normal-build guy. He has a white circular face, wide black eyes, long eyelashes. In between his shoulder blades, he has a mole that's supposed to symbolize some kind of divinity or something. He's taller than like normal size, but he's not like crazy tall. He's a little bit taller than like your average guy.
Yeah, but the average guy was significantly
like
smaller than that.
Well, no, so he's got a white circular face, so it's absolutely just like Jesus, where there's no possible way he could be a white person.
He has fine arched eyebrows, and he has a vein between his eyebrows that juts out when he gets angry.
Like,
and
the
that's
Hulk.
That's what Muhammad looks like. But I mean, like, knowing that, I'm not going, oh shit, I need to get out my colored pencils and draw a picture of the guy. I mean he was alive a long time ago, right? And he's dead now, and we don't need to draw him. I mean, like, I have a pretty good idea what Jimmy Carter looks like, but I have no desire to draw him. Because
people draw Jesus all the time. If people, like, didn't like the fact that you drew Jesus, would you just stop making inspirational pamphlets about Jesus?
Guys, all I'm saying is, you know it pisses him off. So why you gotta be such a troublemaker? Why can't you just...
I also know that it pisses people off when you make fun of misogyny on the internet, and I continue to do so just to try to get a rise out of people.
Yeah, getting a rise out of people is a noble cause in and of itself.
Good enough, right?
Yeah.
Hashtag make a Black Widow movie? Is that...
Are they really doing that?
Did you see the clip? From Saturday, I don't watch Saturday Night Live, but I saw the clip of the rom-com starring Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, like, making out with Ultron.
I don't think Scarlett Johansson's particularly good, and I don't think Black Widow was that strong of a character to warrant her own movie.
No, if you're going to... I'd say no Black Widow, and it's not because she's a female. I would also say don't ever make a Hawkeye movie.
Yeah, Hawkeye stinks.
No, Hawkeye doesn't.
It's terrible. Don't make that fucking
movie. At people. Woo! Who cares?
Yeah, he's a guy that shoots arrows in between a super soldier, a guy that built his own awesome robot machine.
Hide behind the Hulk, shoot a couple arrows.
Yeah, exactly.
The movie.
Even in the first Avengers movie, he just sat on a rooftop and shot guys off of their little fucking sky speeders. So he's useless.
You're right, Travis. Hawkeye stinks.
Yeah, he sucks.
And Black Widow also kind of stinks. She's fine as a background character. She fills up space. Great.
She'd be good as, like, Daredevil's sidekick. You know what I mean? Because it's the same kind of fighting.
Oh, that fucking Elektra movie was fucking horseshit.
I'm not saying that women in comic book movies is a totally crazy concept.
No, Wonder Woman would be great as her own standalone comic.
Right.
Or She-Hulk. I would watch a fucking She-Hulk movie.
I'd watch a Storm movie if it was done right. I'd watch a Rogue movie, probably. That could be an interesting character. The whole I can't touch nobody, I'm super strong, I can fly shit. I'd watch that.
No, I can't watch a Rogue movie. I've seen Anna Paquin naked already.
Oh, and I want to see her again.
I'd look at Anna Paquin naked again. Like if she wanted to. There's a doppelbanger of Anna Paquin. I can't think of her name off the top
there
of my
is?
Head. There is? Yeah, yeah. Like
you need
like,
to share that with me.
Yeah.
Does she have the big gap in her front?
Yeah,
of her
she does. Head? She does. She looks just like her. It's crazy.
Perfect. That's perfect.
I can't think of it. It's Jenna something, but I can't think of her last name.
I saw Rogue fuck vampires. Now I really like the want to see more Rogue is gone. I've seen that damn True Blood. Every damn season, but the last one, I can't do it.
I'm
no.
just saying.
God, watch the last season, Napier. The last season is amazing.
No, the second to last season was dog shit. I can't do it no more.
Watch the last. You got to close out. They end up, they have like a Last Supper. The very last scene of the very last episode is they're having like a Last Supper, and Sookie's like with some dude you've never seen before, and she's pregnant and shit. It's great. Watch it.
Travis.
Mike.
You have to admit, though, if there was a To Catch a Terrorist TV show,
I'd watch it.
I'd watch the shit out of it. You put a whole bunch of cameras on it. I mean, like, you know, and they have to make the first move, you know.
Can we do To Catch a Vampire?
They gotta blow something up.
You have to establish that these are awful people there to kill our mannequins, and we won't put anybody in harm's way. We'll catch some terrorists. Why didn't we bring this up? See, Chris Hansen is a guy that can get this kind of stuff done.
I don't think Chris Hansen's
all business, man. He's got his thing. He wants to do it. He wants to tell you about it. He's a businessman, you know? He's got to get it going on. He wants to bring awareness to a subject. He's got his subject. Now we need somebody else to bring this subject to life. Maybe Shaun White will do this one.
To Catch a Terrorist? That could be his big in.
That's Shaun White's. That's his NBC show, is To Catch a Terrorist. We should have pitched this to him.
Guys,
yeah,
I
think the terrorist people, they kill folks, though. What if they go after the dude in To Catch a Terrorist?
The Predators never did.
They'll be arrested or killed.
The Predators think they're there for having sex. The terrorists think they're there to kill people. Does it really matter who...
Like, that's just like Mike saying the bad guys are coming after Commissioner Gordon in the Bat Bunny suit. They're not going to do that. They could have done
send
that.
Send me a picture of this Bat Bunny when we get off of here. I want to see Bat Bunny.
It sounds ridiculous.
It doesn't sound good.
Very ridiculous. But I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that I know is that Scott Snyder, who's been writing Batman since they relaunched it in the New 52, he can do anything, and it doesn't matter. The guy's awesome. He can write any character doing any bullshit, and you'll believe it, and it's great.
Well, guys, I'm sorry that we couldn't get the live thing together this week, but...
I'm not sorry. Fuck you. You don't show up for the live show anyway. Listen to the podcast like you always do.
But well, that's not fair. We don't know how many people tuned in for the live show.
Next week, yes, we guys, do. Strangelabel.com is the place to be. It will be us, the Furnacast, Beardy and the Beast on Monday nights, just like it was on Radio FUBAR. New home, only it will be controlled by us. So,
probably won't work half the time.
We have the Chris Break Show on Wednesdays, the Lotus Cast on Thursdays. Not Safe for Water Coolers is talking about possibly going live. Now
Squarehead
they can't go
kids.
Back on it because I just goddamn said it. Sonic Blasphemy is involved in a big, big way. We're pretty excited about it. Strangelabel.com. Go there. Tell us what you think. tell us, throw us an email and let us know if there's something.
What would you like to see?
Yeah, we're getting it on TuneIn. You'll have access to it in your cars, on your phones. We do appreciate anybody who bothers to listen to this. And
leave us a voicemail on our new number. What's the new number,
Mike? We have a new phone number, yeah. It does take voicemails. Leave us a message. Maybe we'll play it if it's something good. The phone number is 636-487-HAND. That is 636-487-4263. We will be back next week, hopefully live. Napier.
Well, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Hey, it's Napier. Listen live every Monday at 9, 8 Central on RadioFubar.com. Download past episodes at WFODix.com, just in case you didn't get enough of this. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter at symbol WFODix. Follow Drunk at symbol DrunkardSTL or Travis at Produce Travis. Get on Facebook.com and then type in WFO Dix. Email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. We're not going to listen to any of your suggestions, but we will accept praise and or titty pics. And if you're a fan of Mike, just send him feet. I mean, why do you give a shit? It's feet.
I like feet.
Yeah, he likes feet. Send him some feet pics. You don't give a shit. Send him some fucking feet pics. Blam!
We opened a new Skype account because we were using our station's Skype account with the phone number, and we needed a phone number to give Chris Hansen.
Fair enough. Why did he agree
to do it at all, that he doesn't know the name of the show?
They never asked, and I never told them.
Wow.
That's how I've gotten pretty much everybody. Nobody wants to do a show with dicks in the name, but... I mean, you knew ahead of time, but, you know.
Well, yeah, that's just because I'm into wheelbarrows.
Right.